Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along. It's episode 262 of the Milk Bar. Jason and Zoe here once again this week. And how are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good week?
Oh, fairly good.
Busy?
Oh, yes.
Any barbecues?
No, I packed my son off on holiday, though he's off...
Which one?
Alex, the older one,
older
the younger one.
One.
He's not going to go to Spain for 10 days.
No, I don't mind you. Alex probably shouldn't either, but there we go.
He's well prepared,
isn't he?
Made sure.
Yeah. And that's just told me more than I probably need to know, but there we go. We'll have that conversation off air if we have to at all, but there we are. Right, what's coming up on the show this week?
We are going to be discussing the Brood Music Festival and the concert in the church. That's with Nick Wiley, one of the committee members.
Hearing from him a little bit later on. Also, in the studio, we have half a band. Well, actually, I think it's three.
Less than half.
Two-fifths of a band.
Yes.
We have Bits of Soli Morning, Matt and Andy. Hello.
Hello, all right.
Oh,
hello,
yeah.
How's it going?
Yes, all good.
Thanks
right.
for having us on the... landmark 262nd.
Is it? Well, you say, you're two after the fifth anniversary, but what the heck? We don't mind. We're not proud.
It's just a special.
Yeah, it is. It's magical. We'll talk to you and hear some of your new music in a bit. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. What else was that?
We are going to be having a look at some new books that are about to be released and relaunched, and we'll be talking to James Mauclair.
But first of all, 20th Century Boy, the story of Mark Bolan, is at Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre until Saturday the 5th of July. And to tell us more about it, one of the cast, he plays Tony Visconti. He is Andy Coxon. Hello.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Now, fantastic opening night. Really enjoyed the show. And as I was saying to you before we started talking, I've not been able to get the songs of Mark Bolan and T-Rex out of my head since it all happened.
Yay. Good, that's what we want.
And it must be great fun taking part in something like this because, everyone knows the songs, they are mainstays of the early 70s and they're just absolute rock classics, aren't they?
Absolutely, it's timeless really, it is. A lot of people my age don't actually know much about T-Rex or Mark Bolan and I think this show brings it back to life really and brings it back to my generation.
Well for me, because I'm probably a generation older than you, because I'm guessing you're in your 20s?
25.
Yeah, and I'm in my early 40s, so even for me, it's stuff that I've heard on the radio since. You know, when I was in my youth, it was songs that were about 10 years old. And
yeah,
they're songs which, as you say, are timeless. They are classic songs that you can just hum along to, and they're the birth of glam rock. And some truly awesome lyrics and songs, but an amazing story behind the man himself as well.
Yeah, it's such a good story, and. To be able to portray like that, I think it comes across really well, and really does educate people into how much he loved his music.
Because in the story itself, though, we meet Gloria Jones and Roland Bolan, where the main story is set around their life, and really for Roland trying to find out more about his dad. And how close is that to reality? Do we know?
I know that the team that are behind the whole show have been out to meet both Roland and Gloria, spoken to them firsthand, and got a lot of information straight from the horse's mouth, as it were, and a lot of it's very true to life. Obviously, some of it's been dramatised to add to the drama, but I know a lot of it's true, and they're both very much behind the show.
And it's important to have the family, working with you on this sort of thing when the shows have come together, but it does give a true picture then for the audiences who come along and see it, and just such a memorable night, and the whole place was rocking last night, and by the time the story was over and you were onto the let's do the songs again at the end, everyone was on the feet, and it must be just such a buzz being on stage taking part in something like that.
Absolutely, it is so much fun, and it just keeps the music alive, and you can see how much people love it. I personally didn't know much about T-Rex and Mark Bolan myself, but then when you see how many people buy tickets to see the show and are singing along and jumping on their feet, it's just great to see at the end of the night.
And when you look at the age group that were there and made up the vast part of it, you and I were comparatively young compared to some of those there, they were still rocking, weren't they?
Absolutely. I think it's all the songs in the show, I know of them. I wouldn't have been able to tell you who it was a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same with everyone in the audience. I think they realise, oh, he wrote that as well. Oh, yeah. And you can just see them loving it.
And how do you approach your role of Tony Visconti? Because he was the producer who brought together the actual T-Rex sound. And it must be interesting trying to get your take on him as a character as well.
Yeah, well, it's a lot easier for an actor when, you know, it's a real person, in a way, because you've got all the information there. And I'm very lucky in the fact that he's written an autobiography, so I could find out kind of firsthand what it was like working with Mark. He's got a book called Bowie, Bolin and the Brooklyn Boy, and so it just tells you everything about his process of working with Mark and David Bowie at the same time, and all of their interactions and how they developed the music, and that made my job a lot easier. Yeah, I think it's just a great little character to play in discovering Mark and developing his career.
And for Warren Solos, who's playing Mark himself, I mean, there's video footage he's been able to watch, but he must have had a really difficult job putting into all the mannerisms and getting them so right and giving the impression of the person that he was trying to be.
Yeah, I mean, I think Warren's got it down to a T. I think he's absolutely incredible to work with, and really taking it all on board. If you knew him personally, it's such a difference as an actor when you see him playing Mark. It's such a difference. It's so incredible to see his voice and his musical skills are just perfect for it, and the way it's developed over the rehearsal period is just great. I know everyone's just loved watching him.
And when it comes to the musical side of things, obviously everybody's involved. There are instruments on stage. Now, obviously you can't play them all of the time because of the actions that you're having to do sometimes. It's much more exaggerated than playing a rock concert. But I know, obviously, Warren's playing some of his own instruments. Do you play as well, or do you get to mime as you're playing?
I've had to learn for the job. Look what you said. Majority of them are only about three chords, but... I've always wanted to play the guitar, and I kind of knew it basically, but this job's made me have to nail it, really. And there's a great musical team behind it that knows so much, so you can just turn to the right at any point and ask for advice or which chord you need to do, and they're always there to help. And about, when did we open? We opened 12 weeks ago. I wouldn't have imagined being able to play what I play now that time, so yeah. Hard work's been put in.
And for those 12 weeks, you don't seem in any way jaded. It seems like you're coming at it fresh every single night. And do you feel that's the sort of show and the nature of the music that you're performing?
Absolutely. I think every venue we've had a completely different audience. I'll be able to tell you each venue and how well people have reacted and how differently at different points. And it just keeps the show alive, because you're on your toes at every point. You need to figure out whether you need to give more or pull back, or you can relax a bit because you know they've taken it all. It's just different every city we go to, and it's really good on a tour like that.
It is about having fun on stage as well, and certainly that seems to come across with the whole cast.
Absolutely.
And it just seems to be infectious, because all the audience are wearing feather. Well, not all of them. A good percentage of the audience were wearing feather boas, as is evident of the number of feathers that were left all over the theatre as you made your way through the evening.
Oh yeah, usually we leave stage door and we see a trail of feathers through the city centres as we're all going back to our digs or the pub or whatever. We always see feathers around.
And from a personal point of view as well, in your previous work, I mean, you've done so much stuff on stage. Obviously, there's film work as well with Les Miserables that you appeared in as part of the ensemble. But how do you think this fits in with what you did in the past? Because having understudied someone like Riff Raff and Brad in the Rocky Horror Show through to appearing in Evita as well, it must be interesting taking on this sort of role.
Yeah, I mean, this is the first time I've played a part which does so much acting. More, it's more scenes. I only sing one verse of a song. The majority of my character is speaking, and it's the first time I've really done that. And for my personal development as an actor, it's perfect. I've absolutely loved it. And you're just constantly climbing up a ladder, getting more and more work as an actor. So I'm loving it.
We certainly have to say everyone seems to be having a great time on stage, and I know that's part of acting. Sometimes you have to fake it, but certainly this time round it seems like it is real and everyone's having brilliant fun telling the story of Mark Bolan.
Definitely. The cast are loving it. They're all so nice as well. Everyone's just like a big family, really.
And obviously you've learnt the music over the last 12 months in preparation for this. Which is your favourite T-Rex song?
I would have to say Ridey White Swan. I do love it.
Yeah, and it's one of the early ones in the show. You're in the studio and you're setting that sound up with Warren playing Mark at the time. You could just feel the electricity throughout the audience as that started.
Good. That's what we want to get across, definitely. That's the point when you suddenly realise Tony's found gold here, struck gold, and then they start flying. And it's just a real poignant moment of the show.
Well, it's an emotional show in places, but certainly one that's going to get you rocking and enjoyable for all. It's on now at the Wolverhampton Grand Theatre. 7:30 is Wednesday and Thursday show, the 2nd and 3rd of July. On Friday, we have a 5:30 and an 8:30 performance. And then Saturday, there's the matinee at 2:30. And in the evening, the 7:30. Tickets are priced at £21.50 through to around £29.50, dependent on the show that you're looking for. If you want more information, grandtheatre.co.uk, or give them a call at the box office on 01902 429212. Andy, keep up the good work, keep enjoying the show, and keep doing your other bits and pieces, because whether it be your acting or your photography work, you seem to be a very busy man.
Absolutely, I will. Thank you very much.
No problem. Speak to you soon, I hope. Ta-ra for now.
Yeah, take care. Bye-bye.
Now let's have some music, Jason.
Yes, because we've got a CD to play. Look, here it is.
A proper CD.
It's actually a real CD with a nicely produced booklet.
People that don't look anything like the band members that we've got here. No, so I'm not quite sure where they've come from.
Well, no, there's Andy on top of a pile of wood.
I know, you have to look.
And then you got a picture of Matt with his hair all slicked back, wearing his best denim jacket.
Yeah, so it's makeup and stuff, isn't it?
Like? Yeah, and are you into wearing makeup, you too, or is that not happen very often apart from photo shoots?
We just look like we're wearing makeup all the time.
Yeah, it's the bags under the eyes that do it, don't they? It's a rock and roll lifestyle.
It's just dirt, I think.
Well, it's been a while since we last caught up with you, but we are going to hear some of your work now. We'll have a little natter after we've heard the first song from you. So you've got a brand new album out. It's called The Rocket Pool. So what are we going to hear first?
This one's the first track on the album. It's called Last of These Nine Lives, and it features a guest vocalist called Tina V, and she's from a band called This Wicked Tongue.
Of These Nine Lives, Solely Morning.
And as we mentioned, Andy and Matt from the band are here with us. And give us the name check for the rest of the lads. Can you remember?
Looks a bit confused.
Matt, your lead singer. Your lead guitar, aren't you, Andy?
Guitar.
Yeah, do you have any variety? Yeah.
We've got Lloyd Dacre on drums, Dutani on bass, and Town Chambers on guitar. As well.
Yeah. They're all quite showbiz names, really, aren't they?
They're my real names as well, believe me.
So what's been going on? Because this is the fourth album from you now. We've heard plenty of your work in the past. But what's happening? How's it going with the band at the minute?
Yeah, it's going well.
Just come back off a great little tour to France, Belgium and Holland. That was great. And we're just looking at playing some festivals now and promoting our new album as best we can.
Throughout the summer. Yeah, I thought you looked a bit tanned, to be fair. Although it has been nice here recently.
Yeah. He's been on a sunbed.
Yeah, and Andy does. Yeah. It definitely sunbed tan, yeah.
I've been on holiday.
Anyway, nice?
Tenerife.
So that's cool.
Yeah, it was nice.
I know, I've just got fake tan on.
That's all right then, as long as you're looking after yourself. So, inspiration for the fourth album then, because you must, yeah, with the 30 or so songs that are already out there, you must have written about everything you've got to write about, haven't you?
Yeah, well.
I suppose there's five of you, which helps.
Yeah, we we had loads of inspiration, to be honest with you. After our, in the time since our third album, we went through a phase where we was sort of, nothing was seemed to go for us really, and we was getting let down a lot by people. And I was really proud of how the band stayed positive and that, and we all sort of stuck together, and that was the inspiration behind a lot of the songs. And if you listen to the lyrics and that, they're more kind of positive, sort of us against the world type of lyrics, you know.
So you say it is a difficult business to be in, isn't it? So if you can go through those types of times and come out the other side and you're still together and you haven't gone your separate ways, then I think, you know.
It's, yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah. At the end, you start meeting up with your mates really as well, which helps, you know. You can, it's good just to sort of meet up a couple of times a week or whatever and just go and play music really, and that in itself sort of makes you feel good and makes you want to keep writing new stuff, I suppose.
Yeah, well, yeah. I suppose it's easier if you love it, isn't it, that it's more like a, not a hobby, because obviously you're serious about it, but you know, if you can enjoy what you're doing, then you put the extra effort in, don't you?
If you didn't enjoy it, we wouldn't do it.
Well, yeah.
It's the same with anyone, I suppose, anything.
Yeah, now you've mentioned Tina V performing on the track we've just heard, but I mean, you've also got some other backing vocal collaborators as well, so you're bringing a few people in to fill the sound and a horn section as well this time around.
yeah, we've given for broke really on this one.
Yeah.
Now we needed some female vocals. That was just something we wanted to add, something we hadn't really done before on any of our other albums and that. We'd never done a proper duet with another female like, and so that was something we wanted to do. We'd never used horns before, so that's what something we wanted to do.
That was on the bucket list for the album. Some French horns,
I don't know the difference.
Big shiny ones.
They were shiny, yeah. Whether they was French, I don't know.
I think it was from the music shop in Wolverhampton, actually. So probably Wolverhampton horns.
On sale and return.
So it is a very nice looking album, and obviously we've heard a sound from it, and it's very well produced. So has it been expensive to put together?
Well, yeah, fairly. I mean,
you're not the sort of band who plays in your bedroom, are you? Really, to be fair,
no.
It is full on studio. I mean, is it two albums ago or three albums ago? I actually came down to see you guys recording.
It was
that far back.
Yeah, it was. Mambo County. Thing is, it's like anything. You could buy an old knacker of a car, and it's only gonna, you know, do you so long in it. But if you put your money in, you'll get a decent car or whatever. Recording, you can pay couple of £100 and get a decent demo, or you can get to a proper professional studio and get a proper professional studio recorded album.
We drive around in bangers and just so we can afford to have a nice shiny album.
But it's something you can be proud to sell at gigs though as well, isn't it? If you're a festival or if you're gigging in a pub somewhere, and I know you do, again, I've been to see you play live, I think, at least on one occasion, and you must be a fairly busy time. As you mentioned, you're looking at playing a few festivals. What gigs have you got lined up at the moment?
We've been playing them all festivals, really. We've been playing at the Black Country Day.
Yeah.
Is that the 14th of July at the Robin Hood? That's the festival.
Yeah.
We've been playing the Bands on the Beacon Festival in Bar Beacon, sort of the other side of Warsaw.
On the 6th of July,
yeah. We're headlining that one, I think.
Cool.
And we got
the one in,
we're playing one in Stafford, the Finn Fest. That's quite a big festival, actually. That is at the 19th of September, yeah.
Details of all these things are starting to appear on your website as well,
yes,
I'm sure.
Solymorning.com.
And you've got to spell that for us.
That's Soley and then Mourin.
You missed the N.
Mourning. That's right.
Yep.
And then .com.
That was the easy bit. There we go there with that one. worth checking out what's going on. You can see the pictures. I'm sure there's some of the artwork from the booklet, which is available to see online as well, so you know what you've got. And you can, I assume, buy the album through the website too.
Yes. And on iTunes and that, and all things like that. You can buy all of our albums on our website and iTunes as well.
You want people to turn up and watch.
Yes.
The thing.
Yeah.
Okay, and listen. It's preferable too.
Watch and listen.
Yeah, because he doesn't got to just stare and point. That's not
talking
very nice.
Talking about the artwork, actually, we want to say a big thanks while we're on to Daniel Bounds, because he did all the photography on it and he done a great job. So,
even the one with the shark on the front.
Yeah.
We designed that one. Actually. We designed that ourselves. That one.
That's all cool. So we're going to take another tune from you now. What are we going to hear this time around?
We're going to hear second track on our album, which was actually our first single. It's called Accidental Enemies. Confiding these rules now.
Accidental Enemies, Solely Mourning.
Loving the sound. Will, she'll hear more from you a bit later on, okay?
Okay, thank
Very
you.
Very nice.
Cheers.
Now, we're not far away from the Brood Music Festival, and to tell us all about one of the events, Nick Wiley, because he's got it all going on at St Mary and St Chad's in the middle of town. And, Nick, you've been beavering away organising this, what haven't you?
Well, I've played my part. I was brought in. I don't know whether anybody would be interested to know, but there isn't actually, I don't think there's anybody on the committee who actually plays an instrument of any description.
But they just love listening to music, don't they? That's the way it works.
Yeah, that's right. So they suddenly thought, oh dear, we've got to put on this concert. Who do we know who plays something?
Yeah, it's a bit of expertise.
I don't know about going quite that far, but I think I would probably scrape in the barrel a bit. I kind of got dragged in, really. And so that's how I ended up doing that.
Yeah. Well, Friday the 11th of July, to see everything get going, was 7 o'clock with the Peal of Bells and 7:30 at the church for an amazing evening of music. And as a Brood Music Festival covers pretty much every genre in some way or form, tell us about the fantastic lineup for the concert in the church.
Right. Well, it's billed as a classical concert, but it's not actually, strictly speaking, classical at all. My kind of remit was to choose things that I thought would perhaps be acceptable to, or dare I say it, Classic FM. Am I allowed to say that?
You can say that. We don't mind you saying that.
Oh, good. So it's more a standard of music, because obviously it's a concert, so it demands people's attention, it'll be nice and quiet. And, you know, as long as the standard of music was something in that level, then that was fine by me, really. So on the classical front, we have got a very excellent pianist called Chris Langdown. He has recorded for the BBC, played in the Festival Hall, and all this sort of thing. And his claim to fame is that he played the piano for the film Shine, and he also has taught quite a clutch of celebrities, actually, including Jennifer Saunders, Pete Townshend, Sophie Ellis-Bextor, and a few other people like that. So I don't know how he's done that, but that's one of his...
You can ask him when you see him.
Yes, I think I probably will. So that's okay. So that's him, and he's going to be playing. I say he is the main flagship classical item of the evening, really, and he'll be playing serious stuff by Poulenc, Rachmaninoff, Gershwin, somebody called Rob Colley, who I've never heard of, and a piece that he's written himself. So that's him, and he'll be playing for about 20 minutes, 10 minutes each side of the interval, and that's his contribution. Now then, to add to I was so pleased when the next person I'm going to just talk about agreed to come over, because it's a bit of a long shot. His name is Pavinder Bharat, and he is the world's best tabla players, but he is extremely good. He's toured with Stevie Wonder. He's also played in some quite well-known Celtic bands as well. So he's Indian classical by tradition, but he also plays more modern style as well. He is absolutely fantastic. The first time I saw him play, I was absolutely mesmerized. Mind you, I was only about 2 feet away from him at the time, because I play a little bit of Bollywood music myself, and he was in the band that I was playing with. So I met him playing, and I just couldn't believe it. He is absolutely fantastic. So what he's going to do in the church concert is he's going to give a very, very short, a five-minute explanation of how tabla work. And tabla are not to be confused with bangra drums, which are those very loud ones. The tabla is a very, very sensitive instrument. It's got a lot of rings on the top, and each ring that you press with your, or you hit with your thumb or fingers, makes a different sound. And he's going to explain all about that and how it works. I've really no idea myself. So that'll be very interesting. That's a quick introduction, and then he will play some solo work of his own. And then the second half, I'm actually going to join him for a couple of Bollywood film music items. And he will be improvising around that. And I don't think we're even going to have time to rehearse it. It will literally be made up on the spot.
But that doesn't matter, because you're all very good musicians, I'm sure.
Oh, well, do my best. Yeah, a bit of jamming, exactly. But he'll be the main. He's the main thing. I'm only going to be sort of shadowing what he does, just to provide a little bit of a sort of foundation to the instrument, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really, really fantastic. Now then, the next item is, he's only 17, Antonio D'Souza, and he was a finalist in the Rotary Schools competition, which I went and listened to. He didn't win it, actually, but I thought he was the most emotional player. He was absolutely hypnotized by his own playing, I think. He was superb. I've heard him twice since. I'm actually playing with him on July the 4th for a different event, and he will really delight people. He certainly will. So he's great. And then we've got an all-female singing group based in Brood. They rehearse in the Jubilee Hall every week, called No Men Allowed. Someone got into trouble for spelling allowed incorrectly, but their title is A-L-O-U-D. So No Men Allowed. It's and they're, as I say, there's 25 or 30 female singers, make a good sound. And I think they'll be doing Bring Him Home from Les Mis and a bit of something from Frozen, I think. So that's an easier listen, if you like. We've got a soprano singer who's sung for the Brood Music Festival before, Ina Volantite. She's going to be singing Where Sheep May Safely Graze by Johann Sebastian Bach. And then I'm going to do a spot with my friend Sebastian on percussion. He's conservatoire trained, absolutely marvellous. We're going to play some completely modern stuff.
Ooh.
And that's the evening.
It's going to be a fairly varied and busy evening and jolly good fun by the sounds of it. And as I say, yeah. Brood Music Festival is the home of some fantastic music, and over the whole of the thing, from because it all gets going kind of on Thursday night running through till Sunday. It's going to be a really, really good event to be part of, and I'm looking forward to being there for the main event at St Dominic's on the Saturday evening. So that should be good fun, with Glenn Tilbrook and Toploader amongst many, many others, including Neomantics, who've played on our show as well before in the past. So it's going to be a good do, isn't it?
I think there's something for everybody. I know that's a bit of a cliche, but there really is. So you know, just get on down there.
And how much are tickets for Friday night?
Well, I'm glad you've asked that, because it's free. How ridiculous is that? I must say, it's sponsored by the Rotary Club of Great Britain. They're not paying for the whole thing. It's been done, you know, been done as economically as is possible, really. But Rotary have made a substantial contribution towards it.
Well, it's worth getting along to. And do they just turn up on the night?
Indeed.
So
yeah,
no need to sign up in advance, but do get yourself down there. You'll be able to hear.
I should get there early.
Oh yeah,
it's going to be packed out, isn't it?
It is. And you'll be able to hear.
It could well be.
With the sound of the bells calling them in from 7 o'clock and 7:30, it all gets going. Nick, thank you for joining. It's good to talk to you, and I'll probably see you around and about on the Saturday night as well, I'm guessing too.
Well, you never know. I'm afraid I'm actually in Manchester.
Oh, you're working. Okay.
Never mind. Okay.
All right, then, smash it.
You can't be everywhere, can you?
You can't. No, you get to miss out, but such is life. It was somebody else's gain. It's great speaking to you, and we'll catch up with you soon. Cheers.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Right, back to the band, and another song on the way from you. This time around, something which is kind of a bit political, a bit protesty, and more or less just trying to make sure people get to have their say. Would that be about right?
Yeah, I suppose so, yeah.
So tell us a bit more about The Unmaking of a Rational Mind.
Well, it's believe it or not, if you look at the lyrics, it's actually a peace song, and it's basically about when you sort of turn on the TV or listen to the radio and you hear the news, everything seems to be bad for whatever reason, whether it's religion, the government doing something, corruption, racism. You know, and it's just it just made us think that really, if you took away all them things, that what a great place this world would be to live.
Okay, this is your take on that.
And that's only my take on that. Yeah,
you've got to tell us how to do it as well. That's the next difficult part, but that's not as easy as wishing for it, unfortunately,
yes,
is it?
That's right. Yeah.
But here we go. This is once again Solely Morning, The Making of a Rational Mind. No coincidence.
always someone who wants to have a go. The Nazis weren't the first to force a stranglehold. Then came the Cold War, the communist era. When the IRA ceasefire, along came Al-Qaeda. The US and Britain, are they so innocent? Or are they very good at keeping agendas hidden? Are there better ways to solve these problems we acquire than throwing in the soldiers and fighting fire with fire? And what's a government? What do they do? I'll tell you what they do. They hide the truth from you. And the media, they're in on it too. Their influence, it can control government mood. How many people are only British when it suits them? How many folks won't get a job because we fund them? It won't get no better till we sort out these conundrums. And if we don't, our kids will face much bigger problems. Where do we go from here when money makes the world go round? It makes the world go round. For poor the world shut down. What do we know from here? I've no silver spoon in my mouth, but I have a voice and how I'm gonna use it
now. Morning and the Making of a Rational Mind.
And the words are in the booklet for that one, if people want to follow along, aren't they, if they buy the album. Yeah. And did you do a digital booklet as well for the iTunes downloads? Do they get to see the artwork that way?
They get to see the front cover.
But that is all, unfortunately. but they can always email you for a copy of the lyrics, I'm sure.
Yeah, sure.
Just prove you bought the album, I'm sure you'll be able to send that across. Okay, we've got one more tune to come from you in a minute, okay?
Okay, cool.
To the phones we go now, where we find James Moclair. Hello.
Hi, how are you, Jason?
I'm good, I trust you're well?
Yes, not bad at all, thank you.
Good, glad to hear it. Now, last time we spoke was May last year, when you were on the verge of bringing out your book, Space. And although it was released, unfortunately, a very difficult and traumatic family situation arose. And unfortunately, you didn't do the launch as you would have liked to, but of course, family comes first. And there is a bit of a sad story there, isn't there?
There is, yes. Well, what happened was, as the book was being launched, my wife was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And what we were hoping with this is that she would make, after an operation, a reasonable recovery. But sadly, there was some secondary cancer, which was brain cancer, and she died just on the 2nd of December. So the book launch and everything else has just gone by the by for the time being. But in between time, I was writing my second book. And so what I'm doing now is I'm relaunching the first book and also launching the second book at the same time.
And all of this in memory of your wife. And really, because she'd be so proud of the fact that you've now got two novels out there.
Oh, absolutely. Well, in the new book, which is called Time, there is a mention of her in there and a page that just says a little bit about her. So hopefully when people will read the book, they'll also just see that, you know, the book has been dedicated to her.
And obviously difficult times, but it's good to have something to focus on when you're working through any traumatic family experience like that. And obviously throwing yourself into your writing must have been at least some sort of comfort to you as well in troubled times.
Well, Jason, without the writing, I honestly don't know what I could have done, because at times, because it's science fiction as well, you're off in your own thoughts, but that really did help quite a lot. Sometimes I realise now it must be very difficult for other people to cope with these kind of things, because sadly there's loads of people that go through the same kind of thing as myself on it.
Do you think there's any part of your experience you were going through at that time actually reflected in the book at all?
Well, it's funny you should say that, Zoe, because I realised when I wrote it that my main character has a lot of the traits and characteristics that my wife has got. And it wasn't until I completed it and we were editing the book that I looked at it and I thought, oh my gosh, I've actually wrote quite a lot about my wife in there. And again, I do mention this in the book itself, because she was quite a character. I'm just having a little look here, just so if I can see where I wrote this. Until completing this book, I had not realised that it included in the main character all of the qualities Lorraine had had: sincerity, courage, and determination in everything she did. So that's actually in the book as well. Mm. Yes.
So as well as having a fiction story that people can read, they can also get to know somebody that was, you know, you were close to, and it's a nice way to remember her and the way that she was.
Yes, yes, definitely on that one. Yes, yeah. Yeah, and I'm really pleased with the way that the actual book and the character actually portrays that as well, because it does give people a definite insight into my wife. My wife, as a person, was a very active person. And when I spoke to Jason the last time, I was explaining that I'm a professional martial arts teacher. And that's my main job. But then writing as an author becomes second on it. Mm-hmm. But my wife was also one of my black belts, and she was a second dan black belt in jiu-jitsu and a first dan black belt in karate. So she was quite a fit and healthy person as well. So it's quite hard when she got cancer, because we just thought, well, why us?
Yeah, there's no reason for it, is there?
No, none whatsoever.
Also, you want to pay tribute to the people down at the hospice where she spent the last of her days.
Oh, yes. Mary Stevens Hospice was absolutely fantastic. To be quite honest, Jason, because we had one of these days where you could go down and have a little look around. And my wife joked with me afterwards, and she said, oh, she said, you hate this place, don't you? And I have to say, it's not the nicest place to visit. But once your member of family is there, the staff and the volunteers are just absolutely wonderful. Mm. They just couldn't do enough to help us. And because my wife was so ill, we'd organised for a wedding to be held here in this country. My youngest daughter lives in New Zealand. And we were planning to go to New Zealand at Christmas. And unfortunately, we couldn't do this. And so what we've done is we organised a wedding, but even then my wife was so ill that she couldn't walk. So Mary Stevens Hospice organised ambulances, nurses to go along with us, and they actually came to the wedding with us.
Mm.
And I just can't commend them enough for what they've done for us. But
yeah.
I also have to say that they didn't just do it for me and my wife. They seem to be able to do that for everybody. So. Again, they're just a fabulous group.
Yeah, because it takes, you know, a special people to make a place special like that. And, it's something that people do need as well in times like that, times of need. You need to have places
absolutely
like that.
So,
yeah.
Yes.
So, I mean, the book themselves, they're both now available. And give us the start of the story and the way the tale begins with Space.
Okay, well Space starts off by introducing a race of beings who are quite vicious, I suppose, is the way you could describe them. But they play an intricate part in the whole plot of both books on this. And I don't want to give too much away by chatting at the moment, too, because otherwise it will spoil the storyline for it. But as the story unfolds, a character is introduced, which bears a very strong resemblance to my wife's character, and it is a female, and she's actually from Earth, and she voyages through the whole of space, encountering various problems, helping out with a war that's raging through the universe on it. And then in the second book, Time, she actually starts traveling through time as well.
So there's plenty of science fiction in there. And some interesting scenery that you've been able to set with the power of the pen, and some brilliant pictures in the mind's eye, I'm sure, as you make your way through the books.
couldn't describe it any better myself.
Where can people get hold of these two then?
Right, both of them are for sale on Amazon and other internet websites. So they're probably about the best they can do too. But we're also doing some book signing here at my business as well. So if anybody ever wants to pop in, I'll be glad to have a little chat with them and also sign a book for them.
So where can we find you?
On the top floor in the Plaza Mall, and that's in Dudley, and we're right on the High Street. And my business name is Taijutsu Quiet, the martial arts centre there.
So you can be found there. Or you need to search for James Moclair on Amazon or many other reputable book sites. And that's Moclair, I believe, isn't it, the surname?
That's correct, Jason.
And you can be found that way. They've got ISBN numbers and everything. So everything that you'd buy will make sure it's registered in the appropriate way, which is the way we like it.
Well, perhaps if they pop in, you can sign them up to your next class as well while they're there.
Yeah. Oh, yes, definitely on that one.
That'd be the interesting way of doing it. James, great speaking to you. And obviously, you've, with the story of your loss there, you know, it's our thoughts with you. But I know that the strength has come through the writing of these books, and it'd be great for people to support you in that and enjoy the fruits of your labours during what was a very, very difficult time for you.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Jason and Zoe.
No,
I hope to speak to you soon.
Cheers. Try for now.
Bye bye.
Okay. All right. Bye bye now. Bye bye.
So time for our last song from Solely Morning now before we send you back off. And once again, thank you for popping in and seeing us tonight. Good to have you down
thanks
here.
Thanks for having us.
So what are we going to hear this time around?
The next song is Gumstream.
Tell us a bit about this one then.
This song is basically about, like I said earlier, really about, as a band, the sort of disappointing moments that we've had to face over the last couple of years and just sticking together, basically. Mm-hmm. That's it, really, just standing together as a band.
So it's quite positive.
Yeah, it's positive.
Through thick and thin, and your wife's and girlfriend's complaining about the amount of money you're spending on producing top-notch 3Ds and studio time, and why can't we have a decent car, and how am I supposed to feed the kids, Okay, that's great. We'll have a little listen to this one then. Last time round for now. This is Solely Morning with Gumstream.
Second to take it in, cause this could depend on how how we're feeling, and if we feel it, cause this is real now. So let this be. Put your hands in the middle, hands in the middle. Wanna feel that slap of your hand, man. Put your hands in the middle. Yeah, we just made us a plan. We're gonna run. It's a fun. Can't stay down, it's come to pass. Where we're going, gonna run. It's a fun day.
Solely morning.
Right, that's it from us. Thank you for joining us this week. Back next week for more.
Yes.
After I've got a little trip to Norway this week as well. So
I'm sure you're going to be looking forward to that, Jason.
I fly off Tuesday morning first thing. Well, there we are. And once again, thanks to Solly Morning, or at least say 2/5 of them coming in. Matt and Andy, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
And no running on the pitch when you go out.
I was just going to say, we're going to have a game of football now that Jason promised.
No, you can't. I keep telling you. I had enough of you. Because you were going to give me grief and phone me during the Jody Craddock testimonial, weren't you? Because you were down here for that.
There we planty and bully. And there was me trying to shout you in. Anyone needs to take a penalty as well. Oh, I don't know.
Shattering his dreams.
Oh, no.
He broke or it. I couldn't call you.
No. Poor thing. Right. We'll catch up with you guys again soon. We wanted you to come in and play some acoustic songs off this album as well, if that's all right.
That'd be great.
Okay, we'll get you in a few weeks' time. Meanwhile, we'll be back next week, as we say, and we'll see you then. Ta-ra for now.
Goodbye.
Goodbye from the mill bar. 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 Yeah.
goodbye from the milk bar, yeah.